Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm JP here alongside Allison and Amy Beth from the Treehouse. Have we formally called it the Treehouse, like publicly?
Maybe one time.
The Treehouse Gang.
The Treehouse Gang. Well, we got a JP's Miraculous Monster Miracle montage. I think that's all of them. But first, I got to tell you about Stan McDonald. Attorney Stan McDonald, who is a partner at the law firm of Woolmer & Lee out of Huntsville. He's a 30-year veteran, and not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs and rights, but he has been an absolute warrior for causes near and dear to our Right Side Roofing community. Attorney Stan McDonald has represented his clients in literally thousands of real estate transactions over the years, and when Stan McDonald is on your side, you'll have no greater friend, and likewise, your adversary will have no greater foe. So Attorney Stan McDonald, here's his phone number, 256-533-0202. That's Stan McDonald, 256-533-0202, and tell him you heard about it on Right Side Radio. And no representation is made that the quality of the legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers. And now it's time to stand by for news.
Stand by for news.
I saw you about to throw down here in the middle of the street.
Hey, man, listen. These people hate our country. They hate everything we stand for. We have to oppose them everywhere they go, all right? Black or white. If you're a Christian in this country, these people hate your way of life. They oppose your existence. We can no longer allow this.
See, I'm an Iraq and Afghanistan veteran. I was 22 years old when those planes flew into those buildings, and me and thousands of other young men across this country answered the call to go over there and combat this evil that was on our shores. What we were told over and over again is that if we go over there and we fight them over there, we will not have to fight them here. We're seeing entire communities being taken over by the very people that we fought to keep off of our shores.
The terrorist attack that happened in Washington, D.C., and the bigger threat of unvetted individuals coming in from Afghanistan and other places around the world, honestly, because the Biden administration, and what are we going to do now? A lot of Americans are furious by what happened to our National Guardsmen in Washington, D.C., and they should be furious because this was predictable.
Now that I am no longer a teacher, thank God, I can finally say the things that have been on my mind all school year. The way that stuff is going now, the amount of kids that are going to come into these schools and they cannot read, they cannot write, they cannot do anything without AI.
I'm going to read you exactly what he posted. He said, quote, any document signed by Sleepy Joe Biden with the auto pen, which was approximately 92% of them, is hereby terminated and of no further force or effect.
92%?
I mean, what?
Where was okay. he? What are the rules for auto pen? That you can use it, but people have to sign off on it? Or...
I believe the rules are it can be used, but there has to be a verbal or written, like, approval from the president. Like, okay, I'm okaying this to be auto-penned. I think with a lot of Biden stuff, there was not. I think whoever had the auto-pen was the president at the time. So I believe that is the rule. You know, if you're going to sign any formal, like, executive order or something like that, there needs to be written or verbal approval from the president to do so.
When did the auto-pen begin to be used?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let's see.
Because it just seems like an all-around bad idea.
Let's see. When did the auto pen start being used for presidents? I'll have to do some more research on this.
I mean, because that betrays everything the Democrats... I'm sorry, that's who it was that told it. Like... Do you ever get tired? I get tired of saying it was the Democrats or it was a Republican. We live in a political world, and so this is the hand we've been given. But it was the Democrats who told us there's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. I saw no evidence of decline. Everything's great. What are you looking at? There's nothing to see here. So if we find out that the auto pen was used basically for the whole time, that he was
92% of the time.
So when did that start? Like a month after he became president? I don't know. But do you realize how much that undoes with what they did and who are they? And should they not be arrested?
here's my question, because probably most of, and this is the problem with ruling by executive order. It's not efficient. It's not the way we were supposed to run this country. But why didn't, because Donald Trump could have come in, auto pen or not, and just been like, we're not doing this anymore. Done with those executive orders. So why didn't he do that? Why does it have to be auto pen?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a, you know, because they were claiming to do like an investigation on the auto pen and everything months ago. So I guess they would have to prove that, you know, Biden did not give approval with certain stuff that we use with the auto pen. If they have evidence that that's the case, then it'd be pretty easy. But I don't know. It may just be the case that the evidence is not there. And it's not the auto pen in general. Like, the auto pen has a purpose. You know, my family got a written letter from Trump when my grandfather died. It was like a, you know, here's a grateful nation to your veteran. And I mean, I'm sure that was signed with an auto pen. The question or the problem is executive orders and pardons. That's right. The big one. Pardons.
Yeah, pardons are huge.
That are signed with the auto pen. How hard is it to get the president out of his bed to just sign a pardon?
Well, and this may have already been stated in the media. It was a holiday weekend, so I only half paid attention. But was the auto pen used to sign the temporary protected orders for all of the illegals?
That's the thing. Like,
I mean, we really need to do a deep dive in this whole thing. But then beyond that, who are we going to hold accountable? Because here we are yet again with another story. We can talk about COVID, and perhaps we'll talk about that tomorrow with the information that's coming out about the mRNA and all the horrible things that happened as a result in the children that died and on and on. Okay, that's like in the news, fact, there it is. But here we are with the auto pen story. Here we are wondering, when did it exactly start? How many people did he pardon? How many people were brought into the country under temporary protected status, allowed to vote, do their thing? Who are we going to hold accountable? Because if not, we're just talking about something that they're not going to do anything about. I think that's the frustration, isn't it, that most Americans feel is, I don't care what side you're on. If you have a pulse and you go, that's probably wrong. Like, that probably shouldn't have happened. How are we going to hold these people accountable? And this earphone won't stand. It's fine.
It really should. If there is a legal way to use auto pen for executive orders and pardons and things, there should be a record of, okay, these people witnessed, or, you know, verbally him saying or him signing at least one document that says, I am giving permission for these pardons or whatever. If you can't come up with that, I would say everything is null and void. But I think the genius of this whole scheme, and the Democrats knew what they were doing, is that I don't know how you pin it on anybody. Mm-hmm. There's so many people in his orbit. There's so many people that you could say, well, No, I mean, that department was dealing with that, and she and he and they and it and whatever, and you just kind of shuffle it around, and it would be really hard to go back and actually pinpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best we can probably hope for is that these 92% actually are wiped off and we deal with it. But again, I don't know why Trump wouldn't just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. That's why we're working so hard to codify a lot of these things that Trump has put in an executive order, which I'm all for using. I mean, again, we play to win. We use the tools that we have been given that are legal to fight the fight. But if you really want lasting results, you've got to codify these things. So I think this is a great Trump over the weekend. I don't know if it's like all of everybody coming after him for Susie Wiles and Cash Patel and Pam Bondi, but he went just balls to the wall this weekend in his tweets.
2016 Trump, yeah.
That's exactly what it felt like. I was like, dang, this is such a roller coaster with him. It's like it's up and down. Because this weekend I was like, yes, he's back.
That's exactly what I was saying. I was like, are we back? But it's kind of a segue into the big story of the National Guard situation in D.C., I think the day before Thanksgiving. I think after that, I think he was given full reign. I mean, he was full out saying every Afghan in America out. and remigration is the only answer. Right. And I'm sure there were a lot of people, may or not be in his administration right now, that were a little upset with that. Maybe they were losing some of their cheap labor. But it's like, yeah, you've been given full rein. All the Afghans that came over, you know, specifically from the Biden withdrawal that are here right now and just killed one National Guardsman and then the other one is still recovering, like, they need to go. They're not compatible with Western civilization. So I think when tragic situations like that, so I'm not trying to say, like, ah, you got your reason. But I think that was sort of ammo for him to say, nah, they need to go. Look what they're doing. They're literally killing our National Guard. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great for him to say it's like, yes, but, you know, I want to start seeing these people go out.
I think you combine that with what is going on in Minnesota and all that was discovered over the last week or so, and then this young, precious young woman being murdered, and perhaps the young man waking up, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's getting a little bit
better.
Says
he's currently awake and responsive.
That's great, which is unbelievable. I think you've got a storm that is right, but I want to tell you about a podcast I listened to after the break that I want everybody to go and listen to that has everything to do with the incompatibility of the Muslim believers in this country. It was a game changer for me, and I think that you will enjoy it and gain from it, but I also think it's a conversation we need to have because Trump is right. They need to be returned to their home country and never allowed back, ever, without question.
I mean, that National Guard, she was literally the age of my little sister. So you think about it, puts into perspective. When I saw that, I was like, I can't imagine.
Absolutely.
The day before Thanksgiving?
No. And she's, I mean, and it was, she asked to do that?
Mm-hmm.
What a hero. But how tragic. Awful.
I think I'm here for this Trump that apparently is making a return. So I really want to talk about, I've got some statistics too, which go along with some of what's happening in Minnesota. Mm. The disturbing facts of the Muslim faith. And I know you've got a lot you want to talk about with the podcast. So when we come back, we will explore that topic further. But you're listening to Right Side Radio. We'll be back on the other side.